It is Hold the Mayo Monday. Too soon? Hold the Mayo Monday, and Boomer Esiason is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. By Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. By Town Fair Tire for the best prices on tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And Boomer Esiason, brought to you by your New England Kubota tractor dealers. Hey, Boomer.
Oh, good morning. Thank God it's over. It's over for the Jets. It's over for the Giants. It's over for the Patriots. And now we can start looking forward as opposed to wallowing in this just misery.
Well, it's also over for Gerard Mayo. Is that fair or not?
Football's not fair, man. It's not fair. There have been a lot of guys that have gone down this path, and I feel bad for Gerard. I think that a rookie quarterback, a lot of moving parts, a questionable roster. I mean, no matter who was coaching this team, it was not going to be pretty. I felt like we have come from Cincinnati to now is such a long way, and so many things happened on that first game or at that first game in Cincinnati to where Gerard is now. So I certainly feel bad for him, but he knows that, you know, this is the life that he chose. And unfortunately, whatever happens internally, sometimes we are not aware of. So whatever really nudged Bob Kraft across the finish line here, I don't necessarily know that we'll ever know that what that answer is.
Well, it happened so quickly that we have been trying to ascertain whether the Krafts gave the code red with regard to losing that football game yesterday, and Gerard Mayo had one job and one job only and didn't do it. Do you think that's a possibility?
I don't think that's a possibility. You know what I think? I think what most other people think, and that is that Mike Vrabel's out there. And I think with the Jets interviewing Mike Vrabel last week, and we all know about the relationship between Vrabel and Bob Kraft. We saw that when he went into the Patriots Hall of Fame during the season when he was the coach of the Titans. I think that tells us all we need to know. I think all of us really think that Mike Vrabel is going to be the next head coach of the Patriots as we sit here right now this morning.
Is it a job that is still desirable? I mean, is it a job that somebody like Ben Johnson wants?
That would be an interesting one for me, but you have your rookie quarterback who is got through with the year, and I think he showed enough. I also know that you have a lot of money, probably the most money under the cap to be able to spend in free agency if you spend it right, and then you have a high draft pick. So I think all of the ingredients are there for the Patriots to come out of their funk now over the next 2 to 3 years, assuming that they select the right guy. I personally think, and I have no inside information on this, it's all speculation on my part, I think it's got to be Vrabel. I think this is why Bob Kraft would have went this quickly, this soundly, and this decisively.
Boomer, if you're in the position of the owner of this franchise, do you go down this road again where I think a lot of fans are like, well, they should really open up the search and look for candidates that could potentially be really qualified? Or do you go with, hey, we know Vrabel, we've seen what Vrabel's done, where there's some familiarity there? Or are you picking somebody completely new that has no connection to the Patriots at all, like you brought up Ben Johnson?
Yeah, I just kind of feel like, would Ben Johnson want the Patriots? Got to remember, Ben Johnson is going to be in high regard. He may have impact on who he wants as his general manager, and there will be certain owners that will give it to him, a la Shad Khan down in Jacksonville, if in fact that job comes open. We all think it's going to happen today. So I think it's about fit. I think it's about understanding the culture within the building. I know that Bob Kraft is super comfortable with Mike Vrabel. You know that. We all know that. So I would think that Ben Johnson is probably going to be looking elsewhere, but Chicago job is going to be also very, very coveted, but you're going to have to accept Ryan Poles as the GM, who I think has done a really good job with that roster. They just need somebody in there that is going to, unlock Caleb Williams' future, and I think that future is still very bright for him, and I think it's still very bright for the Bears. So he's got either Trevor Lawrence or Caleb Williams. I'm sure Ben Johnson could have either one of those jobs, and I think those jobs would present a better situation for him personally than maybe the Patriots.
Boomer, how much added pressure is there for the Crafts to hit this time, though, when it comes to Drake May and making sure that he doesn't find himself in a revolving door of coach situation where it could put him back in his development? Or am I overreacting there and Drake May, it's all on him to make sure that doesn't happen and affect his play?
No, I think a lot of it is on the player. You know, when I watched Joe Milton yesterday, and by the way, let me just tell you something. That guy is, he's got so much juice to him. It's ridiculous. And he showed that at the combine. I don't know why he fell in the draft at 6'5", 240 pounds, and could run a 4.5 40 and can throw the ball 80 yards in the air. That's what you call explosiveness, guys. I mean, you know, Shedeur Sanders doesn't have any of that explosiveness in his body. What he has is he has the ability to stand in the pocket. He's got a dad who was a Hall of Fame player. He's been around it his whole life, much like Patrick Mahomes was around Major League Baseball his whole life. And Shedeur has this, I guess, this sense that he belongs and he will belong and he will not be intimidated. And I just, you know, watching Joe Milton yesterday, and the reason I bring Joe up is because, you know, Joe has all the physical attributes that you want. Now, I hope this kid takes this offseason really seriously and he dedicates himself to his craft, as should Drake May. Both of them should. And I think the Patriots got a nice 1-2 punch right there. And you never know what happens with Joe Milton down the road. But I have to tell you, watching the ball come out of his hand yesterday, and I know it was against the Buffalo team that really wasn't playing for anything, but man, oh man, oh man, the guy is explosive. He's got a cannon for an arm.
They were playing to lose.
Yeah, I know they were. I know. And you know, there are a lot of teams that were playing to lose yesterday. Some teams did it better than others.
Like the Chiefs?
Like the Chiefs, like the Giants. You know, Brian Daboll was coaching his team. It was like going for it, 4th and 7 at the 50-yard line. You know they're not going to make it. Yeah. He's like, okay, go for it, guys. So there were some coaches that were doing some pretty obvious things yesterday.
I wanted to get your perspective on a bit of a kerfuffle that broke out on this show Friday when Patriots linebacker Jelani Tavai said that fans who boo at a sporting event should know their place and should not be critics. Where do you stand on that in general?
I'm with the fans, man, because I am a fan. And, you know, I'm a New York Ranger fan, and my team stinks right now, and I can't figure it out why. So I have gone to MSG, and I have booed. I'm sorry. You know, I'm a former player, so I've been the victim of boos, and I've actually booed players.
Okay.
Look, I never fight the fan base, never fight the mob. You can never win that one. These people spend so much money on this sport, and it's one of the reasons why these players make so much money these days. It's one of the reasons why these coaches make so much money these days. I know that it can be very frustrating for the player. I would just never, ever enter into the fray and start going after the fans, especially in the era of social media where the fans can get right to you and just absolutely eviscerate you. No matter how good you are, just remember, you got to be a politician at times and you got to appreciate the fans and what they do for us as former players and for the players of today.
Jelani was also mad with us when we were talking about the fact that fans wanted them to lose when it came to the game on Sunday to secure that number one overall pick. As a former player, when you're in a locker room, are there discussions that go on behind the scenes of, all right, the future, it's better for us to lose this one, or is that really difficult to do?
Nobody gives a crap about the future, especially the guys who are not going to be there. And anybody who wants to put something on tape to try to win a game, and so they could show that, you know, look, I could still play. The player has to go out and he has to play hard. Now, the coaches, that's a different story, and the GMs. They can decide to hold key players out like the Chiefs did yesterday. The Giants could make different crazy offensive calls like the Giants did yesterday that could affect the outcome of the game. They'll never admit that they are doing that so they can lose a game, the coaches or the GMs. But the players, when they're on the field, man, they're all competing. So I agree with Jelani in that part. Like, I understand the fan part of it. Like, they want the higher draft pick. They want to be able to get maybe Travis Hunter or somebody like that, which I still think they're going to have a really good shot at, or even a better, an edge rusher or a top-end receiver. So they'll have their chance to get what should be an impact player for next year. The other thing, with all the amount of money that they have, they should be able to go after somebody like T. Higgins, who would look great in a Patriot uniform, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
But I would say, like, you know, to go back to your original question, I mean, the players are not going to tank at all. That's just not in our brain. We don't think that way. We don't worry about next year. We only worry about the moment that we are on that football field.
Boomer, you brought up Ben Johnson and, you know, whether or not he would want to come to New England. Is there any chance that Mike Vrabel goes, maybe I don't want to go to New England after the way they treated Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time, then the way they treated Gerard Mayo, where they basically just gave him one and done, and they didn't give him a bunch of talent. If you're Vrabel, is there, like, real confidence that if it doesn't go the way that they expect in year one, that they wouldn't pull the plug on you?
Yeah, I think that Braves is sitting in a spot right now where he can pretty much write his contract. I think there are going to be a number of teams, at least three teams, that would really want him to be their head coach. So, you know, the Jets could go, you know, 5 years. The Patriots could go 6 years. Maybe the Raiders go 5 or 6 years. Maybe the Bears go 5 or 6 years. I mean, even if he gets fired after 1 year, believe you me, Wiggs, you and I would be more than happy to take that contract and get fired after 1 year and then just go on a cruise or something. you more than me. I'm not a cruise guy. I can tell you more of a cruise guy.
Yeah, the midnight buffet, like it's hard to say no to the midnight buffet, though.
That's what I'm saying. He is definitely a buffet guy. There is no question
about
that.
Ain't nothing wrong with a good buffet, boom. But the cruises tend to get a little bit wild and violent nowadays.
Okay. Well, you fit right in. But here's the thing, you know, I'm more of an a la carte guy because I'm a quarterback. I'm not into, you know, picking up somebody else's snot and spit. And you know, and there's the norovirus is going on right now. It's like the last thing I want to do is go to a buffet.
The noro's all over the place.
Yes.
Curtis? Boomer, this is Wiggy's position, and it's fine, and it's held by others that it was one and done, and it was unfair. I just believe that Mayo was fired not because of how he coached, but because he was a disaster off the field in terms of walking back comments, all the things that he was supposed to be good at before he had this job, meaning he was in the media, know how to talk to the media, he was a defensive guy. Both of those elements of this organization have gotten worse since he got here.
Yeah, you know, it's a big seat to sit in, man, and until you sit in it, you don't realize how many different things are coming at you. And, you know, he'll learn from this. Maybe he'll have another opportunity somewhere along the line to become a head coach somewhere else. As bad as I feel for him, because in the beginning, you remember I was telling you, man, it really sounds like the players love this guy. And, you know, maybe he was still too close to the players. Maybe that's what the Kraft family saw. I'm not really sure. I still think this has to do with Mike Vrabel. I think that Bob Kraft did not want to see Mike Vrabel wearing green and white. Now, that could still happen, but... Yeah. I kind of feel like that's the motivation behind this, that, you know, if you're going to get Vrabel, you got to get him now, and you can't wait, and it's a hard decision. I saw Bob Kraft's statement. I do believe it. I do believe that he had a really hard decision to make because, let's face it, Gerard was the hand-picked successor to Bill Belichick, and you never want to be that guy. I swear to God, you never want to be that guy that comes after the great one. You want to be the guy that comes after the next guy.
Yeah.
And whoever gets this job, and if it is Mike Vrabel, he's going to be stepping into what I think is one of the best positions in terms of the NFL when it comes to money to spend in free agency and draft picks and draft capital.
Well, we'll get to hear how Robert Kraft explains that at 1 o'clock today. Question of the week for Boomer, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Some called last night the most important regular season game of all time, Boomer. Do you agree or disagree?
I did call it that. And you have two 14-win teams. That's the first time that two teams with that many wins have met in the regular season. They were fighting for the number one seed or the number five seed in the NFC. There was a lot on the line last night, and I think Sam Darnold, unfortunately, was too amped up early in this game. He missed some wide-open throws. He had guys. He didn't play his best game, but, you know, the Lions are going to be really, really tough to beat in that building. So maybe this is finally the chance for the Lions to make it to the Super Bowl.
All right, and finally, is Aaron Rodgers retiring? Is he done?
I would say he's done with the Jets. You know, they were saying during the broadcast yesterday that he had told them that, you know, he wants a couple weeks off, he wants to relax, get away from everything, and then assess, you know, his future. He does not want to announce his retirement just yet. But is there a team out there that thinks they're a quarterback away, and do they want to bring him into that building? I would say that's like a, you know, 80-20 situation where they wouldn't want to do that.
All right, Boomer. By the way, I don't want to make your head any bigger. Yeah, if it's possible.
That's right.
Over my short break, I met Logan McGovern's brother at dinner.
Yes. Yeah.
And he could not stop talking about what you have done for CF. So a lot of credit to you, and pains me to say it, but great job by you.
I do appreciate that. It's been a labor of love for sure. It's been frustrating. It's been gratifying. It's been inspiring. And I got to tell you, there are a lot of people up there in the Boston area when I got started in this whole fight that really stepped up for us and have continued to step up for us over the years. And you know, DCU happens to be one of them, and they've been one of my longest standing partners in our fight against cystic fibrosis. So I didn't do it alone. I could tell you that I've enlisted thousands of people to support us, including your radio station, by the way.
Yes.
And I can't say enough about what everybody has given us as a family, and certainly us in the CF community, to give us a chance to have our kids finally outlive us and live a life that is productive, and it's full of all the trappings of family and kids and everything else like that. So I'm pretty proud of that.
Well, I hope we get to talk to you next week. If you're feeling generous, we'd love to have you on again next week.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Okay. We got to get ready to get into the playoffs, and maybe by that time we'll know who's coaching the Patriots.
All right, Boomer, we'll talk to you in a week. Thanks.
Okay, guys. All have right. A great week. See you guys.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Ortho Laser. The Patriots win their
Courtney, can we quickly, before we wrap from that interview, if you haven't seen the E60, Boomer Esiason, Gunnar Esiason on the cystic fibrosis battle, it is the best I have ever seen. And they do unbelievable work. There has never been a man who was dealt a hand that Boomer and his family was dealt that did more to change the trajectory of the history of a single disease than Boomer and his beyond courageous son, Gunnar. It is spectacular.
Is that the one, too, where they go to college with him?
It's that.
And that you get to see what Gunnar's roommates do with him to make sure that he's healthy and safe.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable, sorry. Yeah. The Patriots win their season finale against the Bills 23-16. This win drops the Patriots from the first overall pick in the draft to the fourth. But the big news came just an hour after the win, when it was announced that Jerod Mayo was fired after just one season. There are reports that Alex Van Pelt may also be on the way out, but nothing has been confirmed there yet. We'll hear from Robert Kraft today at 1 p.m. in a press conference. And we now know the playoff schedule for next weekend. Starting on Saturday at 4:30, we have Chargers at Texans. Then at 8, we have Steelers at Ravens. On Sunday at 1, the Broncos are in Buffalo at 4:30. The Packers at Eagles at 8, Commanders at Bucks. And on Monday Night Football, it's Vikings at Rams.
Wow, great weekend of football starting, what, Thursday night?
Thursday night.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, I'll tell you, with college football playoffs, you just talked about that lineup.
Yeah.
Woo! Playboy going to have to hit it big this weekend.
Nope, I am going to sit right down and watch football as soon as the bread is made.
Yep.
Can't
wait. Nice, like, halftime little snack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When's it going to be ready?
I'll probably be kneading and stretching and folding throughout every single football game.
Yeah.
Gives me something to do.
So it won't be ready for the weekend then?
7 days of feeding. So we'll feed the starter for 7 days. So we started yesterday. Right. So
I just ordered Drizzly.
Monday night football.
Curtis,
you'll
be good. Don't do it. You've gone so long. Don't do it.
Monday night football, you'll be ready.
Monday, we'll be ready with some sourdough.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, that better not be store bought.
The Bruins fell to the Islanders at home in overtime yesterday, 5-4. The final. Posse did his best to keep them in this one. He scored 2 goals. They're off now till tomorrow. And the Celtics fell to the Thunder on the road yesterday, 105-92. Jason Tatum led the way with a double-double, 26 points, 10 rebounds. They take on the Nuggets tomorrow. And that was brought to you by Ortho Laser New England. If joint pain has you sidelined, do what Lou Merlone did. Get back in the game without surgery at Ortho Laser New England. Online at ortholaserne.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. And I once again apologize for the interruption. It's bothered many people in the Twitch chat.
Oh, that's okay.
It's 11 degrees is what it feels like outside.
Well, they need to know their place, those people, Curtis. <It's>
just... Women? Yeah. No.
They can be a fan. Just don't be a critic.
You better not. Well, Ken tried to do this about, we'll do it later. He was trying to rip me and Courtney when we were ripping Jelani Tavai on the Saturday show. But
really?
We can get to that later.
A lot of
passive-aggressive stuff with Ken directed to Courtney.
Really?
Seems beneath a man of that position. Anyway, it's cold out. That's basically the bottom line.
That was a salty Gerard Mayo post game yesterday. New England Patriots part ways with Gerard Mayo.
You could sourdough together.
After one season. Why would you guess that was a different Gerard Mayo at that press conference than we have seen? Why would you guess he was like that?
Does they stink? Your team stinks.
Well, they stunk all year.
They went out and if he went into that being assured that he was the head coach going forward and you win that football game, would he not have been his normal jovial self? I mean, I
think that, you know, and I don't know, this is just my opinion. I think that they told him that he probably was cool for next year. I think they might have lied to him and said, you know what, you know, Gerard, I know it hasn't been what we wanted, but we'll...
But then why was he acting like that? I mean,
because he was expecting to be fired and shocked they had him do it, but he didn't have a choice because at that moment he was under contract with the team.
So you think he was told post-game, we need to see you after the post-game press conference?
But it is weird because he says, we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Right.
He says that right then. So unless he means, you know, you guys will find out or you'll hear from Robert Kraft tomorrow. But it to me, listening to it a second time around, it seems like he thought he was going to meet with the Krafts today.
But here's where I would, either way, he wasn't told after the game that he had his job. And then he was told he had to meet the media as a guy that's a lame duck of all lame ducks because of what people are expecting. That's just beneath the Krafts. Like, you know you're going to fire. We all agree when Mayo was speaking, they knew they were firing him, correct?
I would think so.
Well, you had the statement.
The statement was ready to go.
Why would you do that? You give him the opportunity today if he wants to, but why have him meet the media when you're just about to fire him?
Maybe it was another blue pin incident. I mean, he addressed that yesterday.
Mm-hmm. No significance at all. I had a big coat on. It was kind of like the same thing last week or in Buffalo. It's nothing about that. I apologize for not having it visible, but you can make a story about it if you want to.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I didn't think there was a story there. I mean, he was in a huge jacket. I don't know. You could pin it on the outside, I guess. I think that's taking it very deep Gerard's deciding to go against, you know.
Well, don't you think that, like most coaches, because there are reports out there, and who the hell knows if it's true, but there are reports out there Jacksonville fired Doug Peterson, right?
He did. So, it's official.
All right, so most coaches speak after the game, and then they're figuring, all right, we know that Mayo, because we talked to him on Monday before the Buffalo game, and he says that he met with the Krafts every week.
Yeah.
So we know he met with them after the Chargers game, and he's probably having a conversation like, all right, we only got one more game left. What are we thinking about in the future? And they're probably like having discussions there. And he goes out and says, all right, I'm probably going to meet with them on Monday. And then, boom, they grab him as soon as he gets off the podium.
Last person to interview him on this station, your son. That's the jinx is on him.
Yeah. No. Technically, it wasn't because Mego and I interviewed him Monday the 4th. Right,
so that's not a Hillman jinx. That's a Wiggy Mego jinx.
Wiggy and the other woman.
Well, this show now, some meanie on the text line said, because I'm making bread, this show is now called The Lady. When it's me and Courtney, it's The Lady and the Woman. I mean,
is talking about how Greg is not masculine, no offense, Wiggy, then you are the least masculine person in the room.
Thank you, Courtney.
Hey, he's making sourdough.
Oh, my God. Greg. He's comfortable in his sexuality.
Stop.
God forbid.
About his sexuality.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with his sexuality.
Comfortable with my man.
It has nothing to do with his masculinity. It's the fact that he is past the point of being whipped.
His
balls are now in the purse.
They're no longer a carry-on.
No.
Hey, we have good news, guys.
Yeah.
Do you want good news?
Yes.
For coaches Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, is that how you pronounce his name? Are retained by the New York Giants. They will not be fired.
Wow, interesting. This is Mark from Medford. Hello, Mark.
Good morning, guys. So,
what's up?
Think about it for a second. The game wasn't even over for an hour. And Mayo and Van Pelt were both let go, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, something tells me that they both were told this.
Well, Alex,
was their last game.
I believe that's an erroneous report, the Alex Van Pelt report, Curtis. Am I correct about that?
Okay.
No, it's been confirmed.
Has it? Because
yeah.
Breer came out and refuted it right after Volan reported.
I saw it in the Ringer this morning. Nora Princiati, or as Mutt would say, Nora Pranasia.
Okay, there's both sides are reporting different things. But yeah, go ahead. Anyway.
So with that being said, I think Gerard Mayo told his players, and they had his back, screw it. We can beat this team with the product they have out there today, win the friggin' game, and let's screw the Crafts on the first pick. That is my opinion, guys.
Yeah.
Then why didn't they play Drake May?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they still didn't want to get him hurt.
What? Why would they care? They're gone. Yeah.
If they're trying to screw the Crafts and trying to win the football game, Drake May would play more than a series, I would think.
Who figured Joe Milton would do what he did yesterday?
Well, that's why they played Joe Milton. They figured rather than even playing on backup, who was Jacoby Brissett, we'll play our third-string quarterback, which, you know, who hasn't played all year, and he's been a scout team guy and got zero reps during the week, and it's like he gives us the best. They tried to lose that game.
So I think they thought Milton would be bad, but they're so bad at talent evaluation that they didn't think he would actually come out and be good against backup players.
He was good against the Scribeens.
But he lit up a scout team.
Let's dial it down a little bit.
You could have played Jacoby Brissett, and he would have played way worse than that.
You could have easily, regardless of how good Milton was playing, you could have easily controlled the game by how you called the game on offense. And limited Milton to maybe making some plays. Limited hits him doing that. Don't kick the field goals, right? Don't do that. Punt it.
Yeah.
Go run the ball, you know, on third and seven, which is it's a lot more difficult to pick up a first down. You could have did those things from a coaching staff's perspective. Players are not going out there and caring anything about draft picks.
This is Jeff from New Hampshire. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. Good morning. I think you guys said a little while ago that he should not have been allowed to do the press conference since they knew he was gone. He should never have been allowed to coach the game. They made that decision well before the game that he wasn't coming back. And laughing on the sidelines and joking and running the plays like you guys just said about Milton running around, making plays, you know, like he's Mike Vick out there. They cost him the number one pick. They have so many needs that – I know they, you know, other programs have said that it's a loser franchise to try and tank, but in this unique situation, they have so many needs. They have two players on the team that I want coming back. That's Gonzo and May. Everybody else can be gone for all I'm concerned. And they needed a haul. They need to build through the draft. So that's all. He should have never been allowed to coach the game if they knew he was gone, and they did know he was gone. Thanks a lot. I agree.
I said that, Jeff, immediately after that game, I tweeted it, and I should have thought of it earlier, but in hindsight, with as much on the line for this organization as there was, you're talking about, you know, generational draft pick return for the first pick in the draft, which is also, now that the NFL draft is broken up, the 33rd pick, huge pick, because that's the first one after everybody's drafted in the first round. Those are two massively valuable commodities that they relinquished by having Gerard Mayo coach that game.
WEEI's coverage of the football postseason is brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. Curtis, remind me how...
And I have breaking news from the Patriots. You are right. I don't know if he wants me to say who sent this, so I'll just say from the Patriots... Gerard Mayo is the only coach who has been informed that he's being let go. So, sorry. Far be it for me to give Ben Volan credit. Yep. So, okay. I stand corrected.
Yeah. Alex Alex Van Pelt is still employed.
So, what does this mean? So, isn't that really just the I don't want to – I don't know really what the word is I'm looking for, but isn't it assumed that the new head coach is bringing in all new guys?
I don't know who their new head coach is, I guess. Maybe they don't know. Maybe they are not sold on Mike Vrabel.
They're going to allow the coach to make those decisions.
Correct.
Maybe the coach that comes in, Wiggy, likes what AVP has done with Drake May. Like, if it's Ben Johnson, Ben may come in and be like, hey, I like what you've done with the quarterback. I'm going to take play calling, but I'd like to keep you on the staff.
Do you believe that? Because I'd like to fly. I literally would love to be able to fly from here to Aruba.
Is that manly enough for you?
That is very manly flying.
Which is less manly? Baking sourdough bread with your girlfriend? Or wearing matching Christmas pajamas with your family.
baking sourdough.
Don't look at me. I'm not yucking anyone's yums here.
Baking sourdough bread.
I think both very masculine.
Grown-ass man in Christmas pajamas?
Yeah.
Not very manly.
No, it's not, but you know what? Guess what? After the photo, I could take the pajamas off.
Sounds like somebody else does whatever they're told to do.
I do. Uh-huh. To a certain extent.
But Greg, here's what you're forgetting. Wiggy will get all the ingredients for everything. He will pick up the pajamas. The pajamas you wear once you take a photo, adios.
Yeah.
You're doing like a 3-month-long project about bread that you can buy down the street.
And my wife and I would never bake sourdough and name it.
Amen.
I mean, she might be like, nah, that's pushing it a little bit. I'll put
you
in the pajamas.
It's WPS?
Oh, right. Hell yeah.
Or as Greg would say, a woman.
Yes. Hell yeah. That is WPS. We are not naming no sourdough. Like I'm like what Curtis said. We want sourdough. We live, we'll just go down to the grocery store and get sourdough.
It's supposed to be healthier to make it yourself.
Okay.
All right.
Curtis, can you remind me how your idea works today?
Okay, so you go to the Odyssey app, WEEI, on that page, there is a simple button that you can record a message that will be sent and saved to our email and play to the 9 o'clock hour. So if you use the Odyssey app, go to the WEEI page. You can click a button. I think my man Mitch has a picture of this if you're using this on Twitch. Right next to Listen Live at the WEEI Odyssey app page is a send a voice message link. Click that and bang, you can record something to hear later on about the firing of Gerard Mayo.
Another way to be heard. So whether you want to comment on Gerard Mayo or on the bread making extravaganza or on any topic. You leave a message. We're calling it Hill Notes. Did we decide, since it's voice notes, that's what we're doing?
That works for me.
Okay.
What about the Hill phone?
We'll see how this works. You're like Wiggy. You always have a better idea.
I
mean.
Listen.
Because we had Hill Mail.
Throw stuff at the wall.
Hill Mail's great.
See what sticks.
That's I like Hill Mail.
What about a jump to conclusion text?
Hill Mail on the old show was because it was voice mail.
Right. Mm-hmm.
These are
doesn't voice, sound inclusive.
These are voice notes.
Yeah,
therefore,
it just doesn't
it
roll
is,
off the tongue as much.
Is it? Hill notes.
I'm okay
Hill
with
notes.
It.
All right.
All right. We're really celibate.
Listen, Curtis has a great idea every once in a while, and this is one.
I like it. Yep.
I like it a lot. I like the idea.
I like you all.
Okay. Well, we're going to hear from Rob Ninkovich next.
All right.
On the firing of Gerard Mayo and the future of the New England Patriots. Robert Kraft will talk to the media and to Patriots fans at 1, and you can listen live here on WEEI on any of the radio stations that we have assembled for you all over New England, or on the Odyssey app, or you can stream that Robert Kraft press conference at 1 at WEEI.com. Tomorrow on this show, Ty Law at 9 on a Ty Tuesday. Wednesday, Mego on the Celtics and other things at 9. And joining us right now, the great Rob Ninkovich, former New England Patriot. Hello, Robert.
What's up, guys? Good morning. Good morning.
Were you surprised yesterday, 1 hour after that game, when Gerard Mayo was informed that it was one and done?
Yeah, I was surprised. I didn't think that was going to happen. The rumblings of throughout the season, there were moments, and I know the fan base, they were pretty upset, and it just didn't feel like it would be a one and done type deal. But then I guess at the end it came down to it, and that was the case. That's what they did. They decided to do it. It's kind of sad. It's definitely sad. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think that 10 years ago, we were 4 days away from playing in a divisional playoff game and beating the Baltimore Ravens to going on to win a Super Bowl. And now we're at this point where we're firing coaches after one season. Not even a full season. A full season, but not even a full year, calendar year.
Yeah. Rob, were you surprised with how quickly it happened, that it was less than an hour after the game that it got announced?
Yeah, you would think that there could have been more. Today seems like usually a time where people make that decision. I know that Jacksonville just fired their coach. So just coming out
not even an hour or 2 hours after the game. Just seems kind of odd.
If you were making the decision, who would be the next head coach of this football team?
I mean, I think Vrabel being available is probably the most glaring, you know, option for them at the moment, considering he has a history and had been here for so long and such a, you know, legend here in New England. So we'll see moving forward if that's the case. You know, I think that the one thing that I'd said throughout the whole season is when you have a new coach come in, usually the way it goes is the coach comes in and they have they bring in everybody. Yep. And it was kind of odd the way that this Mayo hiring, he really didn't have that opportunity to bring in all his own people. There's a lot of holdovers from Bill. And when he was here, Mayo himself, scouting, the whole thing.
Elliot Wolf is a Bill guy.
So it's now the question is, will the new head coach have the ability, and I think that's the biggest question, can they bring in all their own people? Because if you look at every other head coach that was hired somewhere else, they brought their whole package with them. And, you know, is that going to be the case now? I would assume that whoever is going to be the new head coach, that would be something that they would have to demand.
Ninko, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. However, if Mayo had a 4-13 season and everything on the field was the same, but he didn't say this is a soft team, we are a soft team, we're burning some cash, we're not burning some cash. If he didn't have the missteps with the media, I think he still has a job today. Do you disagree with that?
I mean, it's difficult. It's a difficult time to be in the spotlight now that everyone has the ability to magnify anything that you say. You know, if this was 10, 15 years ago and you say that, you got to actually pick up a newspaper to read it. You know, now it's just in your face instantly. You say something, it's in your face, and then there's a million different streams that grab it and they put it in quotations, and that's your – I mean, I deal with that myself. I say one thing and it's, you know, Ninkovich claims assault. It's like, what? Like, is, you know, Ninkovich wants to assault a player. It's like, well, okay. But it's that's just the world we live in now. But now I think that there are instances where you have to learn and you have to grow. And now every first-year head coach is going to have to learn on the job. It's like just part of it. You know, I think back to when you're a rookie, when I was a rookie in the NFL, and you make a mistake and you – try to learn from it. And, you know, I think that that's part of the process. And we live in such a now community. Like, everybody is so into the now. Like, hey, we have to do this now. You know, that's just our society. Our society is based on results, and it has to be fast, and it has to be instant.
But would you you're blaming the times and social media and the...
I'm not blaming that. I just think it's a part of it. You have to deal with it now. And some of those things are thrown into people's faces, so then they automatically jump on the okay, we need to move on.
In your time here, which was unbelievable, did you ever hear a player go on the radio and suggest that fans need to know their place because they're daring to boo at a football game? And is that not a giant culture problem that has never existed here before?
I think you're dealing with a younger generation of player that they're not, you know, I don't think Tavai knew when he was saying it that there would be such a massive backlash on it, which now, I mean, listen, when you, everything that you say, you have to understand that people are going to take it and digest it. And I think obviously if he had the opportunity to not say those things, he wouldn't have.
Well, he had the opportunity to take them back after the game, and he doubled down on it, which says to me, it's not that one thing. The one thing that Jelani Tavai said on this show is, to me, indicative of a giant, an overall giant culture issue on that football team, of which Gerard Mayo is in charge of and was going to change.
And he was theoretically supposed to be much better at it because he had a connection to the players and he was connected to the social media generation in the way that his predecessor wasn't.
I would assume that it's very frustrating as a player to put out the effort. And if you do have a relationship with a coach that you do respect and you do enjoy working for, even though the results weren't there, it would be tough to go into the stadium. And, you know, I think as a friend, it's tough for me to look at signs and, you know, the things that are out there about Gerard Mayo, because the guy's a great dude. You know, he's a smart football player.
Yeah.
I don't know him as a coach because I was never a player for him as a coach, obviously, but, you know, I think it's tough when you do have a relationship with somebody and you're, you know, you don't like to, it's just like anything. If it was a family member and somebody's saying something about that person, it's hard to just listen to it without having a rebuttal to that. Right. So I think it's hard for certain guys, if they are close to a coach, to just let the negativity and the stadium chanting and all that stuff, it's probably hard to just take that. Right.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, I think there are some aspects of what Tavai was saying, and he took it personally, right? Because you do have relationships. You're with the coaches more than you are with your own family, in a sense. So, you know, you do form close relationships, and you do take things personally. You know, yesterday I'm watching Clayus Campbell talk to the D coordinator from Miami. The guy's crying. You know, the D coordinator's crying. So, you have very close relationships with these coaches, and that's why it's really difficult in these times right now, because you have coaches that just moved here with their families that are 1 year, where am I going now? What's my future look like? Like, those are tough situations to be in, and now I think you're going to have a lot more uncertainty across every single department, scouting, upper office, personnel, coaching, assistants, everybody now is potentially going to be replaced, which is really, really hard for people. I don't think the fan base can put their mind in, like, those assistant roles, you know, like where those guys are going to be and their families are going to be. It affects everybody. And it's pretty tough for those families to be in that situation right now.
Rob, just back to the culture thing, because I agree with you. I think it's a younger player mentality. But even last year with Bill Belichick, we heard a little bit about dysfunction behind the scenes. But it was really at the end of the season, after the season, where maybe players were speaking to reporters like Karen Garigian. But this year, it seemed like every week there was a headline coming out of that locker room. So what was it about Belichick that was he able to, year after year, keep things under wraps?
Well, I think it was, you come into a situation like myself. When I walked into the locker room, I was a young kid that was always envious of playing for a team like the Patriots. So when you walk in the building, you just anything. And that's one aspect of, I think, fans, when they look at a player, for myself, even for myself, after I was done playing, I think a lot of fans and my friends in general were like, dude, you have a lot more personality. You never really said anything. And that was just kind of the you understood that, right? Like, I'm coming in just to do my job. I don't want to make a story. I don't want to put myself in a bad spot. I just want to produce at a high level, and I want to help this team win. And that was the culture. So I think that's one thing Vrabel would have and understand. Like, this is the way it was. This is how we're going to do things. And if you don't want to do it this way, we'll find people that do want to do it that way. And is it harder to do that in 2025 than it was in 2004? I think yes, because there is a difference in the player and the college level. And, you know, you come into the NFL now, you're more of the celebrity just with your own name, as opposed to when you came in the 2000s, the team was the celebrity and you were just trying to help the team win.
Have you spoken to Mike Vrabel at all?
I talked to him in his Hall of Fame induction. Yeah, I mean, I congratulated him. I think, you know, for myself, I was the guy that came in after a legend. And you've said it, I've said it before, it's always hard to fill the shoes of a guy that's the Hall of Fame player. And when I walked into the building, I was, yeah, the white 50, right? Like, you're not Vrabel. And I was told many times I'll never be Vrabel, right? And now I never tried to be Vrabel. I always knew Vrabel was a great football player. I just want to try to represent that position with production. And you do your best. And, yeah, I've made my fair share of mistakes, and I miss tackles, and I miss sacks and all that stuff. But I always try to just produce at a high level, consistency, reliability, dependability. Like, that's what that position and that number was about. So, you know, it's crazy to think that there were two guys that wore the same number for 16 years and won a lot of football games, right? Like, that's not really the case anymore. It's really hard to do that. And, you know, anytime I would meet Vrabel, I almost was like, you know, a little bit intimidated by him because I was always trying to fill that void or fill that position out. And, you know, you never really know. So I never knew him personally at all. So I would always just imagine him as this like larger than life figure because of the great things that he did here. So I think that was a difficult thing for me, but at the same time, I knew after the 8 years that I had played here, like, I did the best I could. That's all you can do, right?
Should have won with 51.
Yeah. Were you intimidated, Ninko, when you first met Greg?
Yes.
No, I just wanted to clean his glasses.
Rob,
I felt
as
the
always,
fingerprints were at a high level on Greg's glasses. We got to get him some Dawn dish soap on them things.
It is always our pleasure to have you on, and I thank you for sharing your thoughts this morning, Rob Ninkovich.
Thank you, guys. All the best in the new year.
Yes, sir,
and take care. We'll see what happens moving forward, and have a great one.
All right. Well, the only direction is up.
I had no choice on the number they gave me. I was 45, which is a terrible number, and then they put 50 on my locker. I was like, all right.
Yeah, 45 is bad.
All right. That's Rob Ninkovich. Yeah. We're going to take a break.
Yeah, I got something. I got something.
Greg, I love 45.
That I was thinking about, and it's not the young players.
Oh.
It's not the young players. That's not the issue? No, it's not the young players.
Are you going to tell us when we come back what it is?
Sounds like a Wiggy's room topic.
Okay. All right. We will get to that coming up next.